Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi.
Hey, fuckers.
Hey, fuckers.
Hey, fuckers.
Listen up, I'm going to tell you one thing.
Do it.
Listen up. I'm going to make this short and sweet. Listen up, I'm going to make this short and sweet. They shouldn't even have the debates. Get rid of debates. They're stupid.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what I've ever learned from a debate, truly, but I've never really watched them until last election, when then I just walked away being like, did I learn anything? Like, no, nothing was taught to me that, like, made me feel better about anything.
They should have Trump and Biden make, you know, those people who, like, fight with, like, they create robots that fight each other,
mm-hmm.
that look like kind of go-karts with, like, arms.
Yes.
They should just have Trump and Biden make one.
Yeah.
And then the debate is just them using a remote control to fight each other.
Yeah, that's a great idea. A debate should actually just be like a series of challenges where that robot challenge can be won. There's a show on Discovery Channel that I'm really, or Nat Geo, that I'm dying to watch, which is called Forged in Fire, where all these guys, the challenge is like you have to make a knife like out of a piece of metal. It has to be like the sharpest knife or like a sword. So I'd love to see them make a sword. I think that they should have to make a ceramic like pot of some sort, paint a painting. I think like we could think of like all these challenges and then see like who comes out on top, or just like that would tell us more about who they are and what they're bringing to the table than actually sitting and talking about whatever issues they're going to talk about.
Yeah. I'm sure like Kamala will like look good next to Pence. I think she's going to like,
that's like a no duh.
He's such a drip and
a blithering idiot. Yeah.
Evil fucker.
That's easy. So, like, that debate's like long down the road, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying that'll at least be like satisfying probably, because she's so much sharper and like doesn't, you know, and he's such a ghoul. But I don't know, it's just I can't even think about next month. I can't believe it's so close. And truly, and I'm not like saying this to be like annoying, but like truly register to vote if you haven't, and just do it.
So I don't think that this podcast is changing many minds. I'm like, you came here for Rock of Love. I love the idea that you would turn on this podcast.
No,
I
know no one's coming to Carrie O'Donnell for
no, and I'm not saying
for the political run now. I'm just saying it for myself.
You gotta say where your heart is. First of all, I love the thought of being like a hardcore Republican who is obsessed with this content specifically. You may be a little dumb in some areas, but you're smart in the areas that count. And then, which is listening to this podcast. And then I love you hearing us talk and then being like, you know what? I am going to vote for Biden, for Joe Biden. If that's happening,
some kid in LA told me to.
Yeah. Because Carrie O'Donnell, he kept saying to vote. And you know what? By golly, I'm casting my vote this November 3rd. I'm mailing in my ballot and voting for Joe Biden. I hope that happens.
It's a matter of fine versus evil.
if you listen, I want user stories and listener stories. If your political beliefs have changed because of this podcast in any way, shape, or form, email me and let me know. sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. Because I want to know. Because I really think that it's either people don't care, or it's like libs.
I'm not telling you who to vote for. Although, if you're not voting for Biden, I think, you know, I'm sorry. But I will say, at least register to vote. That's all I'm going to say. And I know there's people, look, I voted for Bernie in the primaries. Biden was not my first choice, but it's what we got
to
do.
Trying to do what's right. But yeah, I don't fucking know. I would urge you, I think if you are planning on voting for Trump, just don't vote at all. That kind of works too. Does it work?
I think it depends where you live.
What if this election, like, it comes to what if this election comes down, it's like neck and neck, people are counting votes, boxes of votes are showing up at places, there's a whole recount process, and things are looking really
well, there
grim.
Will be,
yeah, but things are looking grim, and then like slowly it's revealed that like maybe like a handful of votes, like people either didn't vote or like it comes down to like winning by just like a tiny margin, and then someone comes out by Biden, but I'm thinking worst case scenario where Trump wins, but it's by like a tiny margin, and then someone comes out and they pipe up on like social media or somewhere and they're like, you know, I was gonna vote, but then I listened to the most recent episode of Sexy Unique Podcast, and I just like couldn't do it. And then that is somehow both elevates the podcast to a new level, but then also just like destroys our reputation and lives from just like the outrage that will follow.
We become infamous.
We become fully infamous for truly just like ruining the election.
Well, I know that you're
literally
voting.
Destroying.
I know for a fact you're voting.
You know what? I registered to vote the other day, even though I was already registered, because I got scared that I wasn't registered.
Me too. I've registered like 8 times.
I keep registering.
I know. It's scary.
Because I'm like, don't you guys, like, I've already done this. So stop showing me a registration link every time I go on Instagram. I'm like registered for my regular Instagram and for my Finstagram. No, I was like,
it makes me feel better because I've been having the same panic, but. Honestly,
but I also haven't gotten any like ballots yet in the I'm just like nervous about everything, which I guess is like the whole point of all of this insanity. And I pray every day that it will just like be over and something will like shift to just go back to like regular level insanity.
But, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be like, there will be a crazy recount. Like it's going to go on till like probably December.
Oh, if not longer.
If not longer. I mean, I'm just preparing myself for just like, anyway.
We're in Q4 of one of the shittiest years on record. And Q4 is when just like everything goes to hell.
Yeah.
We're going to just ride this out on a smooth downward spiral into winter. And it's going to be the darkest winter you've ever seen. And just when you think it's going to get better in 2021, it's going to just get worse.
Ugh.
But in the meantime, at least you'll have the pleasure of listening to Carrie and I talk about insatiable bitch goddesses.
Thank you to the one listener sent me a where are they now of like every person on Rock of Love and like what their political affiliations. And I'd say it's like divided down the middle between Trump voters and not.
It's a truly bipartisan show.
Mm-hmm. Let's just get into it, because the third episode is a doozy. The third episode is called Motocross.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's the title when I watch it on Amazon.
I love.
So we begin with Lacey. Miss PETA is scheming still to get Dallas out. And let me just say that Lacey in this solidifies herself as one of the most, for me, hated people I've ever come across in reality TV.
Yeah, I think the reason that I blacked out a bunch of just this show and my memories, because I did watch it when it was on the air, is specifically because of Lacey and her like satanic Cheshire Cat energy.
Yeah, and her maniacal pursuit to get Dallas, who is also iconic.
Who's truly gone too soon, Dallas. Pour one out for the queen. Yeah,
spoiler, huge Dallas, mistake. Dallas gets sent home, and Brett chooses Lacey over Dallas, which I was like, that's a poor choice. When Dallas throws her fingers up at the end and refuses to even say goodbye to Brett, I was so thrilled.
Yeah. She was, that's Lacey okay. Going,
Lacey
that's
going,
okay.
Wow, that's so rude what you've done. To do that to Brett, how disrespectful. I was like, I'm going to fucking throw a tomato at your face.
Yeah, I'm going to vom. I was literally like, felt ill. I was like, who is she reminding me of? And I feel actually bad, and apologies in advance for saying this, but she reminds me of Farrugia Balk in The Craft. And I don't like putting my girl Farrugia in that horrific line of comparison.
Nancy is a terrifying character.
Yeah, because Lacey wishes, but she is giving me Nancy in the mental 5150 Nancy energy at the end of The
I'm
Craft.
I'm flying Nancy.
Yeah. I want to do a binding spell on Lacey. Even
me too.
To this day, I want to bind her from doing harm against others, and harm against herself.
Also,
but mostly harm against me, because I actually am terrified of her.
I am harmed every time in my spirit, and perhaps physically, every time Lacey comes on my screen.
There's a Shaman Durek, who I follow on Instagram and have attended some of his like shamanic zooms over Quar, and he says in his book that you really shouldn't watch anything that like compromises your spirit. Like, he's like really big on you shouldn't be watching like horror movies. Like, you just don't want that energy to be like polluting your spirit. And truly seeing Lacey on screen makes me want to not watch Rock of Love, because she hurts my, I know that she hurts my spirit.
But sorry, Shaman.
Yeah, I mean, I have a job, bills to pay.
I know. But Dallas, my favorite thing about Dallas, sorry, this is a love letter to Dallas in this moment, but
yeah,
her sailor mouth is unmatched. And at the end, when she just says, "You can eat my shit."
Lacey can eat my shit.
And then tackles into the night. Iconic.
Yeah, she was better than this whole show.
Yeah. So we begin with Lacey still scheming to get Dallas out.
It's another day in paradise.
And Brett assembles them all to tell them their next challenge as a group, which these challenges at this point are just ridiculous, and they're not at all like,
they should be illegal. Like, I think now their laws have been passed against like doing these kinds of challenges. But yeah. I love too that this episode opened with Rodeo just like doing a morning workout by the pool, and she's just getting her burpees in before the day begins.
Mm-hmm. Rodeo is on another level. Like,
Rodeo keeps things tight. She gets those burpees in. She's lifting before you've even gotten out of bed. Rodeo's benched 350 and has done like 48 burpees in a row.
Rodeo's benched 350 on one leg.
Yeah. She not only benches with her arms, she then benches with her legs, and then tops things off by benching with her neck.
Rodeo could snap me in two with like one.
Like a twig.
Like a twig.
Like a twig. She's right over her knee.
So the women find out that they're all going to do motocross.
Yeah, Big John actually delivers a note to them. They're all gathered, and he delivers them a note or Brett, who delivers, someone delivers them a note, but then I realize that the notes that they get from Brett are written out like a song, like on sheet music. So there's like a line of song, like of music with like lyrics underneath. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, like, is it really a song or is it just like the paper from papyrus that they brought?
I think
like
it's that they bought papyrus.
It's just papyrus paper.
Yeah.
It would be nice if it was like a song every time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they have a motocross challenge.
Can I say something? I thought it was motocross until this.
I feel like those are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just wrote, why would he subject them to this?
This is like,
this is,
I don't think I could horrible. Do, I actually don't think I could do this challenge. I've tried to ride a dirt bike once and I think I have a learning disability when it comes to shifting Same. Gears. Like first that just like is never computed for me.
Yeah. I'm missing that chip.
I don't get it. I've never been able to do it.
I'm afraid to go on a bird scooter.
I did have a period of time where I was just so flat out broke that I was birding all over the place. And it was a it was like a freeing moment in my life, but it's dangerous as fuck.
I enjoy being on them, but they're scary, and I've accelerated too fast on like a few electric scooters in my day, and they're not fun. Scooters.
I've gone over like speed bumps on a bird and kind of like lightly flown into the air.
Yeah, it's
thrilling, but I don't want to. Like, I don't want to crash.
Well. Aaron looks terrified.
Aaron's terrified. Brett goes, as you know, I love to rock. And I was like, okay. I love that rock, like, he's inextricably linked rock and motocross together.
Where are they in this? Are they out by, like, Santa Clarita or something? Or, like, the Grapevine?
I think that it's, yeah, the Grapevine seems right because it seems really cold wherever they are.
It's cold and it has that, like, amber, like wheat, you know, there's like hills at the by the Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I feel like they're out way out there. It looked freezing. You're right.
It looked freezing.
LA is cold. If you don't, one thing, if you haven't been here, like I had to, like I was under the assumption that it's always hot in LA, which it's hot right now, but like LA is cold for a good amount of the year.
Yeah, and especially when it's like getting into its peak zone, like my favorite kind of temperature is warm during the day and then cold at night. Like I always love a cold at night, unless I'm like on vacation somewhere, I'm like back home where it's like will be hot at night too.
Mm-hmm.
But like I don't like hot at night in Los Angeles because I prefer that kind of deserty weather.
I have to say I don't like winter in Los Angeles.
I like winter in Los Angeles. I like it when it rains. I like feeling cold. I miss putting on jackets.
Like I guess
having
I just
a coat. I don't want to put on like a layers. I just want to be able to wear my shirt and then a coat over it.
I mean, winter in New York is abominable, but like there's something about the sun going down here where it's like so beautiful and sunny and like dry and nice, and then all of a sudden it's like dark at 5. That freaks me out.
Yeah, and also because of LA's positioning, it does get darker earlier here than in New York or even in Oklahoma. And so that was like a tough pill to swallow when I first moved out here, because the latest it really is ever light is like maybe it will stay light until like 8:15 or 8:30, but you're not going to get that like
I know
9 o'clock. I love like a 9 p.m. It's still kind of light outside summertime.
The north.
Yeah.
You
can't have it all.
And Magdalena sure can't have it all. Magdalena's trying so hard to get the helmet over her, but she's so just big and tall that it's like she's struggling hard.
Mag Deandathal's head can't fit in her helmet because she's a literal Yeti.
Brandy C calls her a space alien.
I love Magdalena, but I also... So I think we said this last episode. She ends up having like a low-key affair with Big John at some point. I don't think it was ever on the show, but like they got together, and that makes more sense because like when you finally see Mags and Brett like one-on-one, there's no chemistry there. Yeah. I don't know if he can like I don't know if he has what it takes to really like
no Big John is
handle like a statuesque woman, and she needs like a Big John in her life. But then someone pulled up her jail records recently and DM'd them to me.
Same.
Magdalena, yeah, is in jail.
Time.
She's serving time now.
For like wire fraud,
forgery or something.
Yeah.
Like she was, I think that she was like maybe making like fake credit cards.
I want to see Big John's giant hog.
Yeah. It's literally like a monster, you know, like monster dildos. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. like that. It's like a dragon dildo.
Mm-hmm.
But like his human.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Magdalena got to see it.
She got to
Magdalena
see it.
Reminds me of the Russian woman in White Oleander, who she lives with at the end, who's like a con artist, like flea market woman.
I've never seen that, but that makes me want to watch it.
You've never seen it?
No.
Laura, it's such a you movie.
I know. I feel like I've like been mean, like my spirit being called to White Oleanders. I'll watch it this week.
Zellweger plus Robin Wright plus Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay, yeah. That's a trio that I can truly get behind.
It's kind of it's unbelievable that they were all in a movie together.
Unbelievable that they were all even available at the same
Michelle
time.
Michelle Pfeiffer's really good in it, and she's terrifying.
What isn't she good in? Can't think
of anything.
Yeah.
Name one movie Michelle Pfeiffer isn't good in, and I'll eat my hat.
Yeah.
I'll eat my shit.
I'll eat my hat. This is like what doing radio shows in the 30s were like.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll eat my hat if that's the case.
You tell me and I'll eat my hat.
You tell me that and I'll eat my hat.
No, Carrie will eat shit.
Yeah, I will. I'll go out on the street and find a little thing of dog poo and I'll eat it.
I'll give you some of Tony's. I'll make it easy.
Okay.
Inaccessible.
I'll eat Tony's shit if you tell me what.
You can tell. Both of us have to actually be convinced that she's bad in it.
Do you want to know my favorite Michelle Pfeiffer movie?
What?
Do you know it?
One Sweet Day or whatever. One Fine Day.
No, that's a good one.
Married to the Mob?
No.
What? Catwoman?
To Jillian on her 37th birthday.
Oh my God. That's such a you movie title, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lightning in a Bottle, I didn't like. But would I say that Michelle is bad in it? No.
No. She's also, Michelle was in a Breatharian cult and escaped.
Oh, she wasn't in. I was thinking of our girl, Ramtha.
No.
This is a Breatharian. Where Breatharians, FYI, for anyone who's not in the know, just breathe.
They can attain photosynthesis.
Do they stare at the sun as it comes up and they stare at the sun when it goes down?
Yeah, they literally think that they have like chlorophyll and can eat.
Yeah.
The sunlight.
The key is you stare at the sun right as it's going below the horizon, like the last like 10 seconds, you stare directly into it and then you're and you're supposed to work up like every day. Like the first day you do like 10 seconds. The second day you do like 20 seconds. And you just keep doing this until you can get up to like minutes at a time, just staring into the sun. And then they claim after you have reached a certain level of sun stare, then you no longer need to eat because you're getting all your nutrients and energy from the sun.
Go to therapy.
Which is a scientifically impossible. But, like, I also did try to stare at the sun once, and it really just gave me a headache.
Michelle Pfeiffer was living with a couple in L.A. when she was, like, first moved out here to be an actress and, like, living in, like, their carriage house. And they were part of this group that, like, only they didn't eat. And Michelle Pfeiffer realized at a certain point, she was like, oh, my God, I'm in a cult. And she left.
She straight up got vowed. And then.
Yeah. Her and Glenn Close.
Glenn was also in Breatharian.
Oh, Glenn Close's dad was the leader of this like Handmaid's Tale, like Sons of Jacob type shit.
Wow.
In Connecticut. It was like this extreme, like where women had to be kind of subjugated. And Glenn was like, fuck this. And she left and moved to New York.
Amazing. Was it like a commune that she was living on, or was it like, it was like an intentional community?
Yeah, she was living in like the Connecticut, somewhere in Connecticut, and like they, I forget what it's called, but it's pretty fascinating. Her dad was like the minister of it.
That's cool. There's like really good intentional community. Like if you ever want to go down like an internet rabbit hole, there's like a whole Wikipedia page of like all the biggest cults and like communes. And actually Louisa May Alcott, writer of Little Women, she was in like a kind of
that makes sense
community like that, and like wrote a book about it, or a short story.
Glenn lived in the cult for 15 years. It's called MRA.
Whoa. Wow. 15 years. My girls. They don't make them like they used to.
Her clothes had to be worn in accordance to what the rules were. They controlled every aspect of her life. She couldn't say things unless they told her she could. And she said she's forgiven her parents.
Are they close now?
I think they're dead.
Oh.
I mean, she's older.
Yeah. True, true.
So Magdalena's trying to get it. She's squeezing her head so hard that she has to pee. She's like a grape.
She pisses herself a little bit from the sheer energy it takes to try and get this helmet over her dome.
I liked her lolling about it though, and not making it like, I could see someone getting like sensitive about it.
Oh yeah. She has a good sense of humor, I think.
She peed herself because she was laughing so hard at herself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then Rodeo goes, I'm getting so excited about riding that bike.
her eyes go in the back of her head.
Can't stop laughing. Rodeo, based on like the footage that I see next week, Rodeo might actually be having like a nervous breakdown.
I think she might.
At first, I thought she was just like having like a How Stella Got Her Groove Back like moment of self-discovery, but I think she's actually edging towards the brim of insanity.
I believe in my heart at the time this was being filmed, like her family didn't know her whereabouts. She was a missing person.
Her daughter's like,
on the show.
My mom's been missing for about 4 weeks. And if anyone knows where Cindy Rodeo Steedle is, please, please get in touch with our family. And like her, they gave up. She was as good as dead to them.
Yeah. Brett gathers them all and he goes, before they even got into the helmets, he goes, motocross is one of the most important things in my life. And he has I was happy that he had two women.
Yeah. Two world champion motocross
Mercedes and Charity
drivers, Mercedes and Charity, who we never even hear them say a word.
They were lesbians.
They were.
They seemed it.
Wow. Okay.
Didn't they?
I love that. I don't know. I couldn't.
I got normally lesbian energy from
that. Normally my like radar would go off a little bit.
Take this
normally,
out.
No, but they didn't even like get a chance to speak. So I couldn't really get a good vibe read going.
I got a gay vibe from at least one of them.
Yeah, I could see one of them really. I think it was Mercedes. She was a mad girl.
Mm-hmm. But she was like, she would talk them through. She was talking about the ignition and the way she was. I was like, she's fam.
Yeah. If a guy ever said motocross is the most important element of my life, that's the moment that I would check, please. I'd walk check, off. Please. Yeah. I'd go hang in the limo and like be on my phone until we like got to drive back to LA.
I'd rather you be into race car driving.
Sure. Anything. Truly anything.
Motocross? No.
No thanks.
That's a pass from me.
You gotta go sit out on like a weird bleachers and like watch. Dusty, like it's dusty field. And fucking cold, and you watch people just like drive around on piles of dirt. No thanks.
Not the one for that.
Mm-mm.
I just wrote, I'd be shitting my pants. Scary. Yeah,
I would not be down. Lacey knows how to ride. She's doing like a pretty good job. And then Dallas takes the wheel and truly is like a bat out of hell. Like,
Dallas is not good, but she's fearless, which I really respected.
She's fearless and has a need for speed. Mm-hmm. Dallas knows how to do one thing and do it well, which is go straight as fast as she can.
And Brett's like amused by it because Brett and her aren't connecting. And I'm like, I wonder why. But she's my crazy girl. Like, he's like getting into her. He's worried that she's going to like hurt herself.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also like kind of into it.
I know. I wish that they had talked more about like that, because that gave him like a sense of her personality a little bit, and would also just give them a basis like of breaking the ice for like a longer conversation.
I know. I think that they actually would have hit it off.
I think so too, or at least been able to like laugh together or something. I stopped feeling as much of an affinity towards Brett. He's still a zero on the binary for me, but like when he chose Lacey over Dallas,
I agree.
I was like, I don't like that at all.
See, it really rubbed me.
I don't trust it.
I don't trust it. It rubbed me the wrong way. It felt weird. And
the fact that you'd see all that and then still be attracted to this Damon lady is like a no comprende.
Magdalena, at one point, they're picking. They divide the 12 girls into groups of four, three groups of four. And I just have to say, there's a recurring thing of no one knows Lacey's name. Because when Magdalena, she's the first person Magdalena picks for her team, the pink team.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, that girl in the pink. And she points, and Lacey goes, yeah. And then later, some rodeo's like, who is that girl? The girl, she was giving Dallas grief. Oh, Lacey. Like, no one knows Lacey's name, which is also, if you're that insane and still no one knows your name, there's something very wrong.
Yeah, that's actually the true mark of the beast, is that you are she which cannot be named. That's like pure Paimon energy. Like, you are so evil, you have no name.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole challenge is a relay race to get a date with Brett, I didn't realize that they were doing, like, they divided into teams. Like, I thought that they were all just going to have to race, like, 12 people against each other. And I was like, someone's going to die today. Like, there's no way that they can survive a 12-person mm-hmm. race.
But Brett goes, these girls are fired up and ready to win dates. I'm like...
yeah, that's, like, the nature of the show. That's why you brought them here.
I hate when people pick teams. It always stresses me out in the show, and I feel like triggered because I was always like, I was never picked first.
You're taking on their emotional trauma of getting mm-hmm. picked last. Yeah, Brett, Aaron is a team leader as well as Magdalena, and Rodeo is not having it. She goes, Brett chooses Aaron with the motorcycle airbags. She can't even see. They're so huge. Whoa, okay.
Rodeo's fangs really come out in this episode.
Yeah, she's revealing. She's feeling really comfortable now that she like got that date with Brett and they like dry humped on the couch in front of his whole like audio production team. Rodeo is fully like, she's like mama hen of the house now.
But I'm also, other than one thing she did, which I loved in this episode, I'm starting to get, like, darked out by Rodeo. And my energy went from her being like, wow, she's, like, fully living her truth, to now being like, I don't want to see that.
Rodeo is good. She's going Aunt Sassy for sure. Like, next, I'm really deeply worried about her, like, just on a mental health, like, mental health struggle to mental health struggle. I'm like worried about her. I'm ready to call the cops. Just like
the same way.
And like it's starting. It's like you see little glimmers of what's to come in this episode, and I really don't want it to go down that road. Like, I want it to just be like sexy forever.
It's going to go down that road.
It's going. But also at the beginning of the episode, there's someone that's talking about like the two factions of girls that have like established themselves. And Heather's like breaking down like the good girls versus like the bad girls. And she doesn't even include Rodeo in the breakdown.
No, I think they're
Rodeo
all,
is
like,
just like a singular force. Like they're all just like, okay, this lady's like here.
This middle-aged woman.
I think Rodeo wasn't even like recruited to be on the show. She just like disappeared one day, had like a midlife crisis, break with reality, and hitchhiked her way out to Los Angeles and like found herself in this show.
Like Nomi and Showgirls.
Yeah. And like everyone just kind of accepted, but even the producers are like, we don't know like who this woman is. But maybe we'll keep her because she's good TV. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone gets picked except Brandy C in Dallas. Which I was like,
it makes, I mean, Dallas showed herself to be a terrible driver. So, like, obviously you're going to get picked last.
But I felt very, like, all right, haterade. Like, Brandy C, everyone just is annoyed by her.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick her either. But I was like, but
I
kind of
like Brandy C, though.
You're loving Brandy C now?
She's scary, but I kind of love her chaos.
I like her method, like her methods of seduction. It's fun to see like how she uses her feminine wiles.
Anytime one of her friends leaves, she cries.
She's really emotional, and I like that.
But anyway, I felt for Brandy in Dallas. No, I can't do the baby voice. That's annoying. I wrote I would have picked Dallas because even if she's crazy, she's got speed.
Yeah, she's got speed for sure.
So they start the relay off. Lacey fucking tanks, which I was really happy for.
Yeah, she shanked right out of the gates. And she's also on the same team as Dallas now. Like she and Dallas end up on the same team.
She talked to the game and then to see her tank.
Yeah, tanks so hard and can't even pick up the bike and turn it back on again. Like, doesn't even know how to, like, turn it off and turn it on. And Brett, meanwhile, is laughing and trying to explain. He's like, you're in gear, which I'm like, don't use, like, motocross terms with me. Like, I don't understand. That would, if I was in this challenge and that was me and I, like, couldn't figure the bike out, I'd actually flip out.
And also, this man is like laughing while you're struggling. I'd be like, I'm going to kill you.
People are laughing. People are screaming. It's so windy and cold. My face is getting like chapped. I've just fallen in dirt. The race is all but lost because of me. And I couldn't figure out the bike. I'd literally just like be like, fuck you and walk off. Like, I don't think I could handle it. And Heather's doing her tactic to like be one of Brett's boys and like laughing with him is really good in this moment. And she's like, should I go help her? And Brett's like, yeah, go help her, Heather.
Yeah. Heather's like really, she's really bearing down on this, like, I'm the chill one.
Heather has the energy of like, I'd go to jail for my man kind of energy.
Mm-hmm. She has like, I'm mostly friends with men energy.
Yeah. I'll hide the drugs in my asshole energy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
I admire Heather's game, but I don't relate to her, and I don't care for her.
I don't trust her, but she also is not on the show to make friends. Like, I'm like, I root for her because I do think she's like on the show to be with right. Brett. Dallas goes, I can't believe that dumb bitch Lacey is going to lose it for us.
She goes, I can't believe that dumb bitch Lacey is going to ruin it for us. Like, she's so like, she says swears are just so funny to me.
Because also her attitude is kind of just like, she's like a little bit, like she's kind of in on the joke of it too, you can tell.
Yeah, totally.
And then it cuts to her sitting on the ground, and there's a shot of her literally flipping off Lacey, who's fallen on the ground. And I just love that she's like, fuck this bitch. She may be my teammate, but like, I do not root for her.
There's a lot. Anytime someone, which Dallas falls later, and she eats shit pretty hard, and like, the lack of caring when someone is injured on this, these girls are out for blood.
Yeah. Heather gets on the bike, and she just revs it the fuck up, and she's like trying to make up for all the lost time with Lacey's epic fungo. I just love Heather. Of course, she's like motocross expert.
Yeah, total. She's truly like a rock chick.
What can't she do?
What can't she do?
I'm gonna make this short and sweet. You're going to get over there and you're going to listen to me now.
Aaron, also, my favorite, gets on the bike and goes 2 miles an hour. There's someone that gets on the bike and it's like, and it's going so slow.
That would have been me.
I would have been like kind of going fast, like skidding out, or I would just like truly would have Lacey'd. I probably would have Lacey'd.
She was a bishop.
Yeah. Aaron, slow and steady wins the race. Tortoise in the hair.
I wrote, when Brandy C gets on the bike, it was really funny. I don't know why.
I love seeing their, like, bike personas. Like,
I know.
When Heather got on, like, it all made sense. I was like, oh, yeah. She's yeah. like, she's like, no fucking bullshit here. And just, like, took to the bike, like, white on rice.
Yeah.
Dallas gets on the bike and she's like, everyone's feeling pretty positive. They're like, Dallas loves to go fast, like maybe she'll be able to win this for us. And Dallas literally goes 50 miles an hour, hits the first bump and flies into the air.
But the first, it's like a pretty severe fall, and the first gut reaction of the knee-jerk reaction for Brett is to laugh.
I think that's,
and Heather laughs, that's too. Is that just the motocross?
I think it's motocross culture is like epic wipeouts, like Red Bull X Games, where people are just like,
yeah, but like
splat.
These are
flat. And I would not do that with like a person that's never been on a motocross bike before. If they fell like that, I truly was like, oh my God, she just like broke her shoulder.
Heather doubles over and starts cracking up. I'm like, you fucking assholes. Everyone starts laughing. You hear Lacey go, I hope she's all right.
This is where I truly was like, I can barely stomach a single second longer of Lacey. She went full Nancy in this moment and then never backed down from a Nancy ledge.
I wrote, oh my God. I wrote, OMG, sociopaths.
Mm-hmm. I wrote, Lacey is Firuza Balk in the craft with a multiple exclamations. Wait,
they go over and help her up. Oh wait, what?
Did you see the new trailer for the Craft reboot is out?
Oh, someone sent it to me.
I watched it today and I kind of wanted to be a hater, but I did get chills. It's definitely like it's going to be really different. I don't think it's going to be like as edgy as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But I was getting like, I did get like a several full body chills and I was like, I'm down to clown.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'm going to be bitter because Heather's reboot, but.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll watch it. I love The Craft. I'm always like support, like.
I can't believe that movie is now reboot. Like, we're officially like.
I know. We're fucking old.
I'm fire up the walker because I need help down the stairs because they've rebooted The Craft. I'm like, I remember I was not that young when that movie came out. Like, I was in middle school.
That was 96. Yeah.
I remember being like explicitly not allowed to go see that movie and then doing everything in my power to see it as soon as I possibly could.
I remember this cool kid who had older siblings was talking about like maybe going to see it or something, or like he was talking about his sibling seeing it in like second grade. And then I remember being at a movie and like briefly looking into The Craft,
but it was
too racy.
It was really racy. Like, they don't make movies like that. Was like when the trailer came out for the original Craft, it was like, this is like a, like I knew I was just never going to be allowed to see it because it, I just knew it. You don't get movies like that anymore.
No.
When's the last time you watched a trailer that was like, you knew it was like, ooh, this is like a racy movie. This is going to like push things to the next level. This is pushing it to the limits.
I don't know. I can't think of it right now. The Craft was just, I'll support the reboot, but there was just something so like perfectly mid 90s about it. And like LA in that time and like Venice Beach and just how weird it was probably. Like,
and also Firuza. Like, her witchiness took it to the level of like true scariness. Like, really, and, like, even when you just saw her and be like her smile, you're just like, you knew that something was.
And Robin
not
Tooney,
right.
Her witchiness.
Ugh, and her power.
The ultimate
hair.
90s girls.
And like, Nev.
Rachel True.
And
like,
Rachel.
What an iconic quartet.
And I didn't see like a. Maybe one of the girls is like supposed to have like a Nev scar energy, but like I didn't see like one greasy haired girl in the bunch.
My favorite shot of The Craft is when they're watching Robin Tooney walk down the hall and she's leaning forward, holding onto a noose in her locker.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite part.
It took me so many watches of that movie as a teen to understand what was even going on in her locker. But she straight up had a noose in her locker.
Christine Taylor was an iconic bully, too.
So mean.
The meanest, one of the meanest bullies ever on movies.
One of the greatest comeuppances that a bully has ever gotten on the silver screen. Like the perfect turnaround, and then she had to be like, she turned nice eventually because she
was humbled.
She was humbled by becoming Gollum.
That was incredible. That was one of the scariest moments when Rachel sees her in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it just keeps falling out.
And her friends have to come and like collect her from the shower. And then she wears like a really bad wig.
She's like, hey, how are you? Also, Skeet is so hot in that, even though he's a rapist.
Oh my God. He's beyond.
And I told you I was behind him in security in LAX.
You did not tell me that.
I was behind him in security at LAX. And he had a hat on, and he was like, just had quiet sex energy.
And Skeet has still got it, and he's like 50 now.
I actually had like my heart went up a little when I saw him.
Oh yeah, he's a major heartthrob.
Yeah.
He's also like, he's like heavily featured in Riverdale.
Yeah, he's had a, I'm like, he's booked and I'm happy.
I'm really happy for him.
He was so hot in Scream.
Mm. Honestly, Matthew Lillard was a bigger crush of mine because I was like, he's so funny and like tall and like lanky, like goofball energy that I was like, he's the hottest guy that ever was.
Thank you for saying that, because when I watched She's All That for the first time, I had a fucking queer awakening, like a gay ass awakening to Matthew Lillard doing that dance. And when him and Taylor Vaughn are like fucking at spring break, like I was so turned on by him that like, and he's not even that, like he's weird looking.
He's weird looking, but it's like hot. It's hot, goofy, big dick energy.
Yeah.
And we love total to see it.
BDE. And
yeah,
I just was so, I remember like being beyond. Yeah, it was. And I feel like he's underrated as like a sex symbol.
I know. Where did he even go?
He was in the Descendants.
Oh yeah, but he kind of like,
he played the guy that his wife was having an affair with.
Oh yeah.
Judy Greer was his wife.
He didn't age in the way that I had prayed for him to.
Skeet but did.
Skeet. Skeet. Skeet.
PMH.
Skeet on my face. Wait, do you remember SLC Punk? Did you ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard.
Oh, hot. And he was also in Serial Mom.
Oh, yeah.
He played her son with Ricky Lake. Iconic. All right. So, so Heather has to pick up the pace because Lacey fucking flopped.
Yeah, then Mia gets...
Flop Lacey.
It comes
Who's
down
Mia?
To... Okay, exactly. I literally...
Mia also skirts by the skin of her teeth.
Mia
she gets picked.
She's done Go Girl Give Us Nothing for this entire show. For three episodes now, has done... Brought a
Zero.
Zilch to the table. She's to the point where by the end of this episode, I was like... I kept being like, who is this girl? Who is this girl? And then finally when he said her name at the ceremony, I was like, oh, Mia. Okay, like, where has she been?
She has Davina energy, and she also...
She's full Davina. What if she could be revealed to be Davina?
She might, but there's also, like, a Miss Congeniality plot going on where, like, she has to go undercover. Like, there's an undercover, like, she's in the FBI.
She's in the FBI, for sure. Yeah.
There's something like she's guaranteed like five or six episodes. I'm confused.
She is like Sandra Bullock, like was like a really like nerdy loser woman who then they were like, okay, you're going to have to go into this house and go undercover and Rock of Love. So we got to rock you up. And now she's trying to be like a groupie energy.
Yeah.
She truly is CIA level under the radar, because it took me until now to understand her name and who she was.
I wrote Rodeo's on fire.
Rodeo's killing it. She says, Mia, it comes down to her and Mia at the end of this relay race. And Rodeo goes, Mia thinks she can ride, but she has nothing on me. Not a damn thing.
And she laughs.
This is Rodeo.
She's absolutely right, because she kills it.
Mm-hmm.
She wins it for her team, which has Sam on it and Magdalena.
I rode it like a rodeo should, and I think it turned his ass on. Rodeo literally split from reality, found herself on the show, and it gave her a renewed sense of purpose in life.
Yeah. So they win, and then Brett's like, you know, we're going to have some dates tonight when we get back to the house. So they all head back to LA, and when they get back, Lacey is on a mission to get Dallas to snap and like hit her. So she, which is, it's very like, it feels pointed and like white supremacy.
It's really white supremacy. It's also very, just like
total racist shit and like anti-black.
Yeah. But it's also like, Dallas is the only person of color in the entire house, and you're like pointedly picking on her, like
tapping like, her forehead,
tapping her forehead, Lacey touching her butt. Like it, she like is touching her butt at one point. It's just like really inappropriate. It starts in the limo. You have Rodeo was high off of her epic win. She holds up a champagne bottle and she goes, party time, let's fucking rock this place, and takes a big sip. And then Dallas brings up a really good point, which she's like, what was Brett wearing the other day? Like, you say you're like PETA and you care so much, like, what was Brett wearing the other day? And she's like, snakeskin, like fucking leather. She says, you're a hypocrite, which is true.
It is true. And
if
Lacey's
you're like ride or die
now,
animal obsessed, like PETA head, you don't fuck with any animal products at all.
Yeah.
Or you can't like get mad at people. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, also PETA is like, do one thing that makes me like you. You know what I mean? Like, do one thing that makes me like say,
go girl,
wow.
Give us nothing.
Yeah. They're giving us everything, but it's all the wrong flavor.
And I think Dallas triggers something in Lacey because she knows Dallas is right, and it makes Lacey snap. And when they're like, we're going to have it out when we get back to the house. So Lacey goes and like gets all her PETA gear on, and then all the girls get Dallas up in the room, and they all start like dressing her and like all the animal, every dead animal fabric possible.
Every animal.
It's actually really funny.
I was loving it because I was like, obviously, like this is a no contest scenario. Like, you have a shirt, Lacey's wearing a shirt. She's like, no one calls me a hypocrite. And I was like, okay, like,
you suck. You're
loser.
A flop.
And then she puts on her shirt that says like, I love PETA, and her like crazy fucking Joker Margot Robbie face like marches
yeah.
herself like
Harley Quinn.
She is total
Harley Quinn face, and she just looks dirty. Like she's like barefoot in jeans and just like wearing this like, she just looks like messy. And Dallas looks chic as fuck, and she's getting decked out in like snakeskin and leopard and just like going ham, and all the girls are on her side mostly.
Yeah. Dallas comes out to struts out of the room wearing head to toe leopard print, and then Rodeo sees her and she goes, yeehaw, baby.
Yeah, Rodeo's on her side.
Rodeo's loving it. Everyone's team Dallas. And then Lacey starts following Dallas around, touching her forehead, grabbing her. Like, this was like truly, that's like not okay. Like, you can't do that to people.
No, and I think it was like, she's trying to get, she's explicitly saying, I'm trying to get Dallas to hit me, so she has to go home. So she's like, that's like why she's doing it.
Yeah, she's baiting her into like a physical altercation, but it's also like, this is, it's just not a fair standard. I was really glad to see that Dallas didn't take the bait, because Lacey's basically like, not only assaulting her, but is also like sexually harassing her, because she is grabbing her butt at some point and like touching her inappropriately. She's pressing her body against her and like
she's touching her forehead.
Listen.
It's yeah. so condescending.
You just don't.
Yeah, she's touching her and she's, you know, she's, I felt like, and I think you were like, she was playing up like she wants to be like the victim white girl getting hit
yeah,
by
she's
it.
She's like, let me make this. She's like, all it's going to take is like, I can just like drive this woman like to the point of like hitting me. Like, it's just like falls into that classic
horrible trope,
horrible stereotype of black women that it's like they.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's like violent or out of control or something, or they'll lose their temper easily, which was not the case in
no,
this
Dallas
altercation.
Was like, Dallas was leaving the space. She followed her up several flights of stairs. At one point, thought she was going to make Dallas fall. She shoved her at one point. Like, she was going, and she was like, oh, let me see. Let me see your beauty. And I was like, I want to, like, you deserve to be, like, put in a straitjacket right now.
If and, I had been Dallas, I would have hocked a loogie in her face.
But Dallas doesn't. And at one point, she keeps telling Dallas she's a waste. Lacey goes, you're a waste of sperm and egg. You're a waste of sperm and egg. And I just wrote, I hope Dallas goes off on her ass, but I also didn't want her to because I didn't want her to give. But
no, I didn't want her to give her the pleasure and like take the bait and then.
I wrote, this is why PETA is not okay.
Honestly, like...
I'm kidding. I like animals, but I'm
no,
just
I
like...
No, I love animal. You can love animals and be, like, a huge animal head and also think that PETA is for losers.
I just don't like the people... The people that are virtue signaling this much and being like, I'm not a hypocrite, I stand up... Like, those are the people you have to watch out for.
Yeah, and someone that's like acting like this to another person is like, honey,
you're evil,
you're bad.
This isn't a KKK rally,
you crazy yeah. meth head. Like, get
racist
a grip,
bitch.
And also, so, I said, I think it is deep meth energy. The way she's like laughing and the way Lacey's like, I'm not losing my cool. Like, I'm smiling and like, there's just something.
And she's going, Dallas, like,
gross,
hateful. And everyone's really like, even Brandy C is like watching with dismay. And
when you've pushed Brandy C to a place of dismay, you know that you've crossed the line.
There's a shot of her just like looking like repulsed by what's happening. And no one's doing anything to help Dallas, though. And then that's when fucking Rodeo in her linen night. Her little nighties.
Rodeo has gone through her whole night routine. She's washed her face, pulled her hair back into a sensible low bun, and she's gotten ready for bed. And just, then
she has a button. What is she? She's wearing like pajamas. Like,
she's wearing pajamas.
On.
Yeah. She's like a sensible lady in her 40s. Just like getting. Yeah. I love that she's also wearing flip flops. Like, she knows the value of like protecting your feet. Like in a house like this, you know what I mean?
Not fucking lazy.
No.
So Rodeo sees the shit going and she's like, I'm going to put an end. She sees Dallas needs help and she's worried that Dallas is going to get pushed down the stairs. So she comes in and she body checks Lacey to the ground. Like, she takes her fucking wiry ass, throws her up against the wall and
drags her off
and
of
drags her up the stairs. Gets Dallas is able to get free.
She puts her
and
in a headlock, like locks her arms, and she immobilizes Lacey and drags her away from Dallas and then deposits her at the top of the stairs.
You can hear Lacey's bone hit the stairs, so you can tell Lacey was like actually really shaken and in pain. And then Lacey's pinned up against the wall and she goes, I wasn't gonna do any, I wasn't the aggressor. I mean, okay, like, why? Like, she's so shocked that Rodeo did that, and Rodeo just leaves.
Yeah, she doesn't even bother to like try and finish the conversation. You see Lacey kind of trying to like pick up the pieces of like her weird like Harley Quinn act and like act like brush it off, but you can tell that she's like shaken to her core by the fact that she just got like body slammed
by a fucking WWE woman. And
Rodeo goes, I might be a southern lady, but I manhandled that bitch.
That was like Rodeo All she had to do was, and it was enough fear that Lacey was like, I'm better not do that again.
Yeah.
Because it checked her, Rodeo's her like, right in you her think place. That's, she's like, you think that hurt? I got a whole house of pain.
Rodeo will break your neck. She's like, I fully believe is like broken men's necks before.
She, like, I literally screamed when she threw Lacey like a rag doll onto the ground. And it was honestly one of the most satisfying things I've seen in a reality show.
It was incredible. And it made me want to like enroll in like a Krav Maga class because like I too want to be able to like physically intervene on anyone that's being treated like unfairly. And then like I want to like throw an oppressor to the ground. I want to like stomp. I want to just be able to like with my sheer brute strength, like you don't even have to crack skulls, but you can. Do you know how strong you have to be to like truly just like immobilize someone, tear them off of someone that they're trying to like fight, and then drag them feet away, go up the stairs. You're going up the stairs backwards with another human body and then throw them on the ground. Rodeo is all muscle.
It was the energy of Lacey kind of mouth continuing to be like, okay, Cindy.
I
like,
was cool. I wasn't even doing anything.
That energy, though, they like pan, they zoom away from her, and it had very Alex Forrest and Fatal, like Glenn and Fatal Attraction after they get into that like intense fight.
Totally.
She's smiling at him as he like, she's covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that is what I saw.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Cindy, Rodeo puts her in her fucking place. And then we cut to Brett's date with Sam and Magdalena,
where he takes them on yet another subpar date into the backyard of the house.
He makes them watch a slideshow about him, about his fucking life.
Also, it's freezing outside. You can see their breath.
Yeah,
it's definitely... I was like, it is cold. I was like, is Magdalena chiefing a cig? And then I realized, no, it's just ice cold outside and these girls are wearing like tube dresses. And Brett forces them in like 40 degree wet nighttime Los Angeles weather to watch a short doc about his own life.
Yeah, it was super. He's just like so lazy.
Which is also like, kind of a power move. Like, I was like, should I start getting back out there and dating and just like showing people a slideshow? Imagine a first date with someone showing them a slideshow of your life and them still wanting to fuck you afterwards.
He just has pure like famous person energy of just like, yeah, this is normal.
I'm obsessed. Also, Magdalena, like Brett and Sam are really connecting because she's also like a fan of his. And then he turns to Magdalena and she goes, I have never been your fan. It's like, love you for that.
And she's like, but you should, that should be a relief because I'm here for the right reasons. And Brett's turned on by it, so it works.
Yeah, he loves it. Brett goes, being from Poland, Magdalena wasn't exposed to my music.
It's like, I wasn't either. I'm from New Jersey.
Me neither. And I listen to like classic rock radio.
So then they go inside and
to like eat strawberries like and tongue.
They have a mono party. They just make out.
They eat a bite of a strawberry. Eating a bite of food and then like immediately like mama birding it and sexually into someone else's mouth is like not my idea of like a fun time. Unless I was like with like a long-term partner and that's like what we decided to do that night, but like doing it with a stranger, with another stranger there is like a no for me.
Magdalena and Brett kiss a little, and then him and Sam have like an intense makeout where they add in moaning sound effects, and they just are like making out to the point where like Brett's like gonna come in his pants, and Magdalena is just
turned on,
chowing down on strawberries.
They're both
sitting there.
I love sitting less than a foot away from your date and then the other girl that he brought on your date to the backyard of your house and watching them make out to the point that both of them are like, God, I would really love to orgasm right now. And you're just Sam, being like,
Sam, That was Magdalena's energy. Sam goes, oh, I really want to orgasm. I was like, I don't want to hear you two.
You can do that. I'll just watch you. And I'd be like, God.
He's like, Brett's like in front of Magdalena. He's like, we can go, like, we can do that, you know, like, it's okay. Like, he's basically being like, we can fuck.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't want, like, to do it in this house where there's, like, other people. And Brett's like, no, it's totally, like, Brett just is being such a fucking straight guy right now.
Oh, yeah, he's DTF to the max. He, like, he literally, I feel like no other shows like this, like, not even in The Bachelor do they live in the same house as The Bachelor. And this, no. Brett was like, no, I'm living in the same house as these girls. Like, he's in it. He's in it 100% for the pussy. And someone gave these women, like, it looks like homemade shirts or tank tops. And Magdalena says, Brett's babe on it. And Sam says, all Brett's. And I was like, wow. Imagine, like, having to wear that on a first date. Imagine meeting someone on, like, Bumble and you set up a first date. And you have to wear a tank top that says, like, all Alex's.
Yeah.
And you watch a documentary about Alex's life.
All Connors.
I want them to do, but, like, if the tables turned and then if a guy showed up wearing a shirt that said all Lara's, I would call the cops. But I would love to show a slideshow of my life for 45 minutes and then be like, any questions?
Yeah. He's also like, he was like, now I need to know about you. And I was, but he didn't ask them really anything.
No. He didn't care.
The next morning, the other Rodeo and Brandy M are going to go on dates. And he's like, the date card's like, Brandy M reads it and it's like, prepare to have fun in the sun in LA. And then you see Rodeo get ready and she bolts into the house. She looks like the cop Terminator in Terminator 2. She's
Rodeo's losing Rodeo. It. Rodeo also, she gets in
she
her
bolts. She has like, she her hands and feet are spears and she runs into the house.
She did. She sprinted. She was in her track suit.
She had the hand. She was like, gotta burn some cows.
She also, she changes into the most like Rodeo interpretation of a fun in the sun outfit, which was very,
a romper.
It was so off brand for any of the other outfits. Like, her color scheme has mostly been like black or just like a monochrome kind of look, but leaning more towards like darker colors, except at nighttime when she wears like her white pajamas. But this fun in the sun outfit shocked me. It was like very frilly and feminine, and she does like more sexy kind of looks, sexy sporty, and then she switched gears into frilly feminine, and that's when I knew for sure that all was not well in this rodeo.
She bolts into
get ready for some fun in the sun.
So then they're waiting for Brett in the foyer, and Brandy M, Rodeo goes, oh, you smell really nice. And then Brandy M smells Rodeo and she goes, oh, smells musky. I was like, Jesus.
Can you guys not? Rude.
So then they're on their way to they're going to Sunset Strip or like,
yeah, they are definitely driving on like Hollywood Boulevard at one point. And I was
really
like,
nasty. And the Rodeo tattletales on Lacey, which I was happy about. And she goes, I needed
to let Brett know that I had to restrain Lacey last night.
Well,
I do
like,
not
good.
Want that woman around his children. And I was like, great point. She should point. Absolutely not be around his children.
Lacey would like leave you in a hot car.
Can you imagine if, like, I thought I had it bad with, like, one of my stepmoms, but if there had been a Lacey in the mix, like, I wouldn't even be alive today because she would have killed me in my sleep. Or I would have been like sent to jail because she would have pushed me to the edge where I killed her. And then I would pay the price for all of eternity. With a life
there's
sentence.
Really, there's no option. Like, you either kill or be killed.
Kill or be killed in Lacey's world.
I'm also like even afraid to talk shit about her because I'm afraid of her.
I'm afraid of like she like. I feel she has a podcast around now. And she has a podcast. Like, I'm terrified. Like, she terrifies me. And the only way I feel confident saying anything about her is that now people will know. So if anything weird happens to me, then yeah. You know that it, or either of us, if anything happens that's suspect to Carrie or I, the first person you should look into is Lacey.
You're worried about Yules?
No. Yules has got nothing on a lace face.
No, Yules will just be like, I'm not moving from this couch.
Fuck you.
So he takes him to a bikini, Ashley Page. Is that she?
Okay.
And he goes, he's like, it's every girl's dream that I'm going to give these girls to have a custom made bikini. I was like, you know, I'm not sure that that's every girl's dream.
Sadly, this date was the best date so far of the three dates he's taken the girls on. They got to go out of the house and do something not related to like Brett's career or his life. And then they got a present. So I was like, okay, what a great date. And then they got to go out to dinner, what looked like a nice restaurant. So I was like, this is a win.
Is it every girl's dream to have a custom bikini?
Not my dream.
It might be someone's, maybe, yeah.
I think it seemed like a dream come true for Rodeo. She was really,
Brandy M's bikini was like Fifth Element.
Yeah, Brandy M's bikini, Brandy M does not bring the same level of like body confidence that Rodeo is bringing to the table. Rodeo literally, have you ever tried a swimsuit on and then walked, strutted up to your lover who's standing there watching you try it on, turned around, and then squatted right down into his face and up? I was like, whoa. No.
Rodeo is like, I feel like she's like a crusher dom. You know, like people, there's like people. Yeah. Who like
she'll
crush
stand
people.
Right on your testicles. You like that? She steps on him. She probably wears like a high heel and just puts the heel right on your testicle.
I love that moment of her. Just she was. Rodeo is always finding a chance to exercise.
Rodeo walked right up to Brett and then turned around and then went like this in his face.
But honestly,
she
other than
squatted down and looked back at it, and I was like, queen of bikinis.
She also I really think she also though is trying to squeeze in a few squats. Like, she's always looking to work out a little.
Oh yeah, if she didn't get her morning burpees in, you best bet that she's gonna find a way to work some squats into the mix. But okay, deep reality show cut that I'd all but forgotten about is that Ashley Page had a reality series, a one season reality show called Bikini or Bust. And I can't remember what, I think it was on Bravo. It was on TLC. Maybe it was on TLC. Weird. But it was, Ashley Page is one of the most iconic people to ever have a reality show. Like, her energy, and it was all about like her trying to start these like bikinis, because I think she had like a popular line of bikinis like during the time where like The Hills was big or whatever. Like, Lindsay Lohan would wear like Ashley Page bikinis and stuff, but it was like Ashley Page was just a mess and her bikini business was equally as messy.
She had weird, she kept kissing Brett in the lips. I was like, it was a little Nexium.
Brett is doing really Keith Raniere kisses on the lips with every girl. Like, things get, when everyone comes home from the date, things take a turn for a Nexium, and I was not feeling it. But first,
we cut to the girls, the varsity girls, and they have a wall of shame, and they have Christia draws boardwalk caricatures of all the girls in the house, and they draw one of Jess and they call her Clavicle Jess.
I'm like, honestly, that's like kind of the best thing that you can be, but they do draw her hair. They're trolling her hair, which somehow manages to get even worse. Like, just when you think you've reached as bad as it could get with Jess's hair, she unlocks a new level of hair, but we'll save that for when it comes. But like, Clavicle Jess, like, not an insult.
And then we cut back to the dinner and Rodeo reveals that she's had five blood transfusions at birth, and I was like, full of Munchausen.
Rodeo takes dinner as an opportunity to tell Brett about her entire life history, likes and dislikes and preferences and experiences, and she's like, I have a garden at my house that I love to tend to when I'm home. I have bell peppers, jalapeno peppers, yellow peppers, banana peppers, tomatoes. And then it cuts her and she goes, yeah, I had five blood transfusions when I was a baby, and it was my grandmother's blood that saved my life. And then Brandy M like tries to like sit. She's like, oh yeah, and then Rodeo goes, I collect swords. Rodeo has a sword collection.
And at one point, Brett goes, now let's take it into sexual territory. He's like, what's everyone into? What's your favorite positions? And then Rodeo goes, my favorite position is doggy. But she says, at one point, Brandy M like gives a little burp, like, and she's like, oops, excuse me. And then Rodeo goes, I would never do something so crass. And then we just hear her go, I like doggy.
Rodeo like, is okay. A woman, such a multifaceted woman. Like, just when you think you have a handle on her, like, she can get you a girl that does both originated with Rodeo. Like, get you a girl who tends her vegetable garden, but also has a sword collection and loves doggy style. And is like a body built, like literally it has the strength of 1,000 men. And has gotten so many blood transfusions.
And survived cancer and was paralyzed.
I was fucking forgot about both of those things. But she was paralyzed, but was not technically paralyzed, but was.
Just so casual. My favorite position is doggy.
I like doggy.
So then we come back to the house and Brett's like, I got to eliminate two girls tonight. And I've only made, I haven't had connections with a bunch of them. So at one point he's talking to Aaron and Aaron goes, I'm not here like to get famous. And then Brett goes, obviously.
This was the sexiest portion of the evening where Brett sat down with each girl and then held their hand and looked into their eyes while they like rambled on. And then he'd be like, okay, well, thank you so much. And then would kiss, go right in and kiss them on the lips. Like, if that was me and we were just having a conversation and then someone went in for a lip kiss, I'd be like, oh, whoa. I didn't think that we were going to end the conversation this way. Like, ew, but thank you, and shake their hand. But like, Brett literally is like greeting and bidding farewell to every lady with a kiss on the lips.
And then Jess has insane hair. Her hair is in a headband. She literally
Jess looks like a goddamn Pokemon. She looks like Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever that anime.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
She's Dragon Ball Z over here. Her hair, like, truly, I've never known such volume. What? And she's wearing, like, a crazy headband. You can see her. There's several wide shots where all I could focus on was the fucking poof ball that was standing amongst these girls. Old Yu-Gi-Oh! In the corner.
I just wrote merch girl at Warped Tour.
It's beyond, it's a transcendent. No,
like in her confessionals with the hoodie.
Oh yeah, she's full Warped Tour, but like this hair, like it has transcended space and time. It's all consuming, all I can think about. Like it is its own galaxy.
Brett tries to get Lacey and Dallas to make up, so he puts them together, and like they're having like a very tame combo, but it's still heated, and like they're just never like Brett at the end of it, he's like, I have to separate them. Like he's like worried that someone's gonna die.
Yeah, and someone probably would, because both of them, I mean, Dallas definitely seems like she has her shit more together, but you can only take so much poking and prodding from fucking Jigsaw before you like lose it.
From Harley Quinn Jigsaw.
From fucking Harley Quinn Jigsaw before you even just saw off your own arm in protest.
Her name, her character would be like a Harley Quinn type, and her name would be like Razor Blade.
Razor, with just like R-A-Z-R, with like a backwards R. One year in 2007 or 2000, yeah, summer of 2007, I did background casting for The Dark Knight. And it was shooting in Chicago, and like we had to have an open casting call for extras, and I was like part of the team that like ran this background casting call, and just like wild people show up that are like wanting to be extras in these movies. But two men showed up that were like these tall white guys that literally had shaved. They were like, I guess maybe like kind of Insane Clown Posse dudes, but they were also like just like scary men that had shaved their teeth down into little razor teeth, like pointy razor teeth, and didn't really speak, but they would just be like,
oh, to me, no.
I was trying to get them to like sign up. I was like, so can you just like sign, use them like, to like fill out this form, yeah, like just fill out this form and like put your info on, and then we'll like take your photo, but just, so you have to fill this out first. And they'd be like, and I truly was like crying because they scared me so bad. I was like, Lacey's energy.
Hayride energy.
She is a haunted hayride.
She's a haunted hayride, like clown.
She's a human haunted hayride. We've all met some in our lives or have seen some.
So Brett assembles everyone together, and he picks everyone but Dallas and Christia. I wrote and Mia gets in under the wire.
And that's when I fully was like, oh, Mia.
That was when I was like, this show means nothing and this is arbitrary.
Yeah, nothing means anything on this show. There's no rhyme or reason. It's basically Lohan Beach House, but with more tits and like rock and roll.
He's like, came down, it's like between Lacey, Christy, and Dallas, and he's like, this is a hard decision. All three of these women are beautiful women. He's like, but one of them, like, she's kind of crazy, but I'm a little into it. You just see Lacey go, and she knows it's her, and she smiles.
I was like, what the fuck? The fact that he's still DTF with her after all of that is truly, I was like, I got it. No.
Dallas.
And then he picks her, and then Christy and Dallas are eliminated, and then Dallas just throws her middle fingers up again, and then he hugs Christy, and
Christy is like, I really feel like he could have seen something in me, but he didn't really give it a chance.
And then he's like, Dallas, and he like beckons her over, and Dallas goes, I'm good. And she just leaves.
Yeah. That's okay.
Really? Brett was really peeved by that.
He was heated. I love quickly Rodeo's elimination dress. She wore a full like Mao collar, kind of like Asian themed.
Yeah, her makeup was very like,
she tried to go like kabuki almost. Like she did like a whole different look.
Do you think they sleep in the same rooms? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, all the girls sleep in like bunk beds on shows like these. I love the thought of being like herded into a house like a bunch of cows and put to sleep in your stalls while you compete for the affections of Brett Michaels. Where you get taken on dates to the backyard of the house you live in.
To watch a slideshow of his life.
Self-produced documentary about your paramour's life. And then freezing cold, having to pretend to be into it. Get ready for a day of fun in the sun. Also, when Big John came out to deliver the news, he was like, yesterday was bitching. He's like, we're all going to have a bitching time now. I was like, God, it's good to hear the word bitching, because that word never gets used anymore.
I know. So I remember in Father of the Bride, too, when the hairstylist, he gets his hair dyed and she goes, it's bitching. Oh, my God. Really fast. Watch Father of the Bride Part 3. They have a little reunion. It's like a half hour on Netflix. Reese Witherspoon hosts it, and it's like a Zoom meeting of all... Father of the Bride is one of my favorite movies. And
Father of the Bride 1 and 2 are the best movies that have ever been created, ever.
And it's like 25 years later, or 30 or 25 years later, and they're reuniting over Zoom because Kieran Culkin from Succession...
I know. Holy fucking shit, yeah.
It's just like a Zoom call with the Banks family. Like they all come back, all of them, even Martin Short. And it's them during the Zoom call. It takes place during the pandemic, and they all reunite over Zoom. And Diane Keaton and Steve Martin are not speaking. Like, she kicked him out of their room, so he's like in another part of the house because of his OCD.
Yeah.
And like Kimberly Paisley's there, and like the whole cast comes back. And then
Kimberly Paisley, who by the way is looking great.
She's amazing. She's married to Brad Paisley. Just like. Doing that thing.
Love that.
And then in addition, because if you're a fan of Father of the Bride Part 2, you know that Steve and Diane had, Nina and George had a baby on the same night as their daughter. So their baby is technically their grandson's aunt, even though they're the same age. And they're played by Florence Pugh and Ben Platt, who I could take or leave. But Florence Pugh plays George and Nina's daughter.
Cute.
So she plays the little sister. And it's really adorable. It's actually really cute, because I was like cringing at first, and then I was like, wait, this is cute. And Robert De Niro comes in at one point.
What? Well, he will show up at the drop of a hat. Honestly, it doesn't take much to get old De Niro's on board.
And it's really cute. And Kieran Culkin's fiance is a doctor, and she has to quarantine in a hotel because she's on the front lines. And they get married over Zoom while she's in her hotel room. And then Franck comes in. And he officiates the wedding. It's so cute. You should watch it.
Okay, yeah. I saw a clip from it, and it actually like made me really happy. And I was like, this is the content that we need. Like, just wholesome Father of the Bride content.
It also just like, they need to just make a full one when they can. Like, we just need have Florence Pugh play the... Like, that is such perfect casting.
I know. And have them all be married, and maybe Florence Pugh is like a lesbian or something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking
she's
going
to get gay married. Yeah, like she now needs to get gay married or something.
I was thinking that too, or like the grandson. Well, I don't really want to see
that. Or they could go on vacation, or maybe Steve and maybe George and Nina are renewing their vows, or they're having a big anniversary trip to like Italy or something like that.
And Florence Pugh like brings her girlfriend, or like is maybe she was. And then he's like, why didn't you tell me that you had a girlfriend? She's like, well, I didn't know. You know, I didn't want to overwhelm you, Dad.
God, Nancy Myers, hire us.
I also remember watching my sister and I watched it. Like, my sister watched it when she just gave birth to her niece, or her niece, her daughter, my niece. And she watched Father of the Bride too, and prepped for that, which I thought was really cute. And it's just like it's a movie that you just know every line to. And I remember being like, wow, I want Annie Banks to be like my cool older sister.
She's
and
so
Kieran
cool.
Culkin was so cute in it. And like, he's so hot.
He's so hot. Yeah.
He's
it's
so
unreal.
Hot in it. Yeah. And I love that he did it, because he seems like kind of like he's in this acerbic dark show now, and he went back and did it.
I know. He could have been like chosen to be like too cool for school, but
fuck no.
No.
When Nancy Myers calls, you run.
You pick up the phone. You rodeo run to pick up the phone.
I love Reese Witherspoon getting her. She's got to get in there.
She had to. She's like, if something cute happens in Hollywood, you better believe that I'm on the front lines.
I'm a frontline worker.
She's a frontline worker for just like cuteness.
And another suggestion, speaking of Diane Keaton, the Young Pope with Jude Law.
Oh, you're into the Young Pope now? Okay. I gotta watch.
We finished it.
Okay, I watched the first episode of that and I actually did love it, and then I never revisited because it was kind of slow, but I remember I got stoned before the first episode and it was transcendent. I was like, this show is the bomb.
You'll love it because it's all takes place in Rome, and yeah, it's just, it's really, really good and weird and like very Stanley Kubrick, and Diane Keaton is in it and she's amazing and kind of scary.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. She plays like a maybe a little power hungry nun.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. And I'm going back.
Fucking amazing and just so hot in it. And like when he's in his Pope gear, you want to like gag on that.
Want
to
ram.
I want him to ram me with his
I want him to slap me with a Bible and then. We need to do like a whole episode one of these days where we just talk about hot guys and come up with things we want to do to them and want them to do to us. And that can be like a whole hour long. Just like,
it's a bonus episode.
Yeah, a rodeo riff.
Ching, and her feet hitting the ground. Ching, ching, ching.
Your phone rings. Oh my God, we have Nancy Myers on line one. Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be right there.
Oh my God.
Well,
Carrie.
Another week, almost a month of Bret Michaels.
God, and it's more to come. I mean, women keep dropping like flies on the show, but then the real heads remain, and I can't wait to see who wins, because I can't remember who wins. No one spoil it for me. You can follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
You can follow Lara at Lars Marie.
And I want to give a huge thank you to our advertising partner on this week's episode, Indy. I think it's so helpful. You'll hear ads about it on this episode and future episodes, and I urge you to check them out.
Check out Indy.
And with that, we bid you farewell.
Bye.
Bye.